So last week we were discussing the, in addition to the previous couple of shiurim before, before the break for Yom Tov, we discussed the Brachos of Noach, actually. So the last few weeks we've been discussing the role of Shechita in Korbanos a little bit, and also the Makor of Shechita Schulin in Parshas Re'eh. And what I've been trying to suggest is that, at least according to the Rambam and according to the Ramban, that and others, I believe, that the source is connected, or the status of Shechitas Chulin is connected to Shechitas Kadshim. The idea being that when the Torah says, uses the expression Kasher Tzivi Sicha, when it talks about Zavachta V'Yachalta Kasherka in Parshas Re'eh, that the Kasher Tzivi Sicha, at least according to the Ramban, has a double meaning. The Gemara says in Chulin, Daf Chav Ches, is what we saw last week, and the Rambam certainly codifies this as well in Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid, and the Ramban begins with this in his Perish Al-Atar in Re'eh, begins with the idea that Kasher Tzivi Sicha refers to Torah Shebal Peh. Meaning there's nowhere in the Torah where the details of Shechita are presented. Everywhere you look, it's always, at best, the word v'zavachta or v'shachatata or something of that sort. But there are a myriad of details, as we know, like where did that all come from? And the answer is kasher tzivi sicha. The kasher tzivi sicha is a language which implies the oral tradition. And the Rambam is even more expansive on this point in Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet, as we read, and also very strikingly makes reference to his Hakdama to Yad HaChazaka. He says, as I wrote in Yad HaChazaka, in the introduction, and he says in the introduction to this chibur, and that is that the word mitzvah sometimes is a reference to Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's exactly what the Rambam says in the Hakdama. What he says is, that va'etna l'chos luchos ha'even va'torah va'mitzvah asher kasavti lahorosam, that va'etna l'chos luchos ha'even, that's a luchos, right, ha'torah. So v'ha'mitzvah means I've given you, Torah shebichsav, v'ha'mitzvah, and the instructions, the oral tradition, that is necessary to unlock the details and the approach to it. It's a very critical idea, of course, and it's a very basic axiom in halachic life that, there are two Torot. The Torah sometimes, a couple of places, use the expression Toros, but spells it Toras, the Ksiv of the Kri. And Chazal always say, because there are two Torahs, but they're really one. You have to integrate Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. So the words of v'zavachta v'yachalta kasher tzivisicha here in Pasuk, what is it, Chaf, in Re'eh, which again, getting back to Re'eh, that's on page 5, right, number Chaf Aleph, ki yirchak nimcha makom asher yivcha Hashem, this is line 3 on page 5, most of the Gemara and the Sifrei and most of the Rishonim are the opinion that this is the source for Shechitas Chulin. So what is this word kasher tzivi? It's mysterious, it's enigmatic. He says, Kasher Tzivi Sicha, as like, where did he command? Where did he command the Dinim of Shechita? So that's where they interpret that Kasher Tzivi Sicha means Torah Shebaal Peh. However, the Ramban, in his Perish Al HaTorah, I believe we read it last week, so I don't need to repeat it, read it again, but the Ramban's opinion, the word Asher Tzivi Sicha has a second meaning, and that is Kasher Tzivi Sicha in Parshas Vayikra regarding Kachim. And the Sifrei doesn't interpret it, doesn't, and then he quotes the Sifrei. Sifrei doesn't say it on the word kasher tzivi sicha, but when it says v'zavachta, so the Sifrei says, just as the zvicha that we speak about in Vayikra, right, is shechita, so too the zvicha here is shechita. So while it doesn't say that the word kasher tzivi sicha, it's a little more explicit you know, that kasher tzivisicha, you know, bekodshim, kein hu bechulin, you get the effect of it. And the Rambam, as I think I read last week, in Mitzvah Saseh Kuf Mem Vav, you can just look at it for 1 second, because that's easy to look at quickly. The Rambam in Perek, in the last page here, probably page 7, on top of the page, says, HaMitzvah Kuf Mem Vav, the 146th Mitzvah, Shetzivanu Lishchot Behem Achaya Biot, V'achar Ye'achel B'saran. You have to, the mitzvah is to shecht and then to eat. It seems like an unnecessary repetition. The Rambam says the mitzvah is to shecht and then eat, and don't eat without shechting. Why repeat? I'll explain in a minute. This exact pasuk. V'loshon sifrei v'zavachta ma mukdashin b'shchita afchulin b'shchita. Etc. Whereas the Ramban, again, it doesn't really matter so much because both of them are most, what they're saying common is more important in this case than the difference. But the Ramban here is in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, on page 5. If you look on page 5, he says the following. This is line 35, right? Line 35 on page 5. V'hinei mitchila tziva sheyeh kol ma sheim ochlin shlamim. Number one, we'll get to this soon. Originally, he says, this is the view of Rabbi Shmuel, talk about it, that in the time of the Midbar, when they wanted to eat meat, they had to eat a karban shlamim. Okay? V'hem shchutim kimishbat hakarbanos. And they had to be shechted because they were karbanos, shlamin. Okay. Then he says, va'ata, now, kishabala hatir basar akulin, in this pasuk, which is telling you that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be permitted to eat real chulin, as basar taiva, amar v'zavachta mib karecha mitzanecha kasher tzivisicha biyosam karbanos. Just as I commanded you, right, when in the Midbar, when there were karbanos, v'tochalosam chulin b'chol tavas nafshecha, lomar, she'atirem chulin b'chol makom, uvad she'uzvuchin kasher tzivim etchila, biyosam kulam karbanos. V'zeu p'shuto shel mikra, right, ala nachon, right, v'shema rabosenu niskavna b'zeh k'shomer b'sifrei, kasher tzivisicha ma kodshin b'shchita, av chulin b'shchita. So the Ramban says both of these things are true. The Rambam, you know, again, the Ramban hangs it on Kasher Tzivisicha, which is a little more powerful. But the idea is then that the reference or the connection is either to Kodshim in Vayikra or Kodshim in the Midbar, right, when they had to bring a karban whenever they wanted to eat meat. So again, the bigger point I'm trying to make here is this is just a way of, parshanut on the psukim, just what does every word mean? I mean, that's very important too, obviously, Torah Shepasav. But the bigger idea is the idea that shchita comes from the world of kodshim. And this is what we were trying to project. I think it's also kind of a bit of an irony because we do say shchita is ksheir bizarre. You know, shechita is one of the four avodos of a karban, but it's also the one which is not held to the standard of a kohen. Zar, you know, anybody could do, but any gadol bardas who's a member of kohen can do shechita's kachim. And yet, shechita's kachim is very prominent in the world of kachim. We even call, you know, the animal, the karban, we call it a zebach. The word zebach is from the word shechita. So the point is, I think what really happened here is that in order to elevate shechita schulin, we borrowed shechita, you know, from the world of kachim. And in the process, the fact that there can be a shechita bachutz and a shechita deizar and so on and so forth, also downgraded Shechita in some respects relative to the other avodos, namely Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika. So that's the idea that I was trying to convey, that I think is very, very practically explicit in the Ramban and the Rambam, and it's very suggestive going forward. Meaning this is kind of the history. The history is that Adam was not allowed to eat basar according to most, right? And that already shows that achilas basar is not a simple matter. And in Parshas Noach, that changes. But even as it changes, I'm just reviewing now things that we discussed earlier. It changes, but it's in the context also of a reiteration of other boundaries for man. Meaning man is told explicitly, that you can't take your own life and you can't take someone else's life. Meaning we're going to be matir basar, but it's going to be, a very limited, it's not something which kind of opens the floodgates, to aggressive, very competitive, I guess more carnivorous, kind of an orientation and a lifestyle. And moreover, we're told, and the Ramban does this all the time, this is going to be important for a point that I'm going to make in a couple of minutes, but the Ramban in Bereishis, unnecessarily, gratuitously in other words, meaning, and in Parshas Noach, starts speaking about the mitzvah of Shechita. Right? There was no Shechita in the time of Bereishis. And there was no Shechita in the time, even in the aftermath of Noach. But there wasn't maybe even Shechita, according to Rabbi Shmuel, in the Midbar. Right? Although it was, presumably part of Matan Torah. Right? And yet, the Ramban, when he wants to explain the trajectory, of the Isser of Basar to the Heter of Basar, he can never speak about it without making reference to Shechita. And he talks about Shechita, being, neutralizing Tzar Balei Chaim, the bracha that you make on Shechita. Again, I don't want to repeat what we've done, but the Ramban in Bereishis, the Ramban in Noach, and again, the Ramban we'll see maybe today a little bit, in Parshas Achrimos, that's where the Ramban says, here in Achrimos, let's see if I can find the actual, we have the Psukim of Achrimos, we'll get to that later. He repeats the idea that Shechita, is part of the process which elevates Achilas Basar. Again, the fact of Tor Korban. Again, it's very fascinating that the Ramban tells us that because Noach brought a Korban, almost immediately upon his exit from the Teva, that too is part of the reason that Basar was Nitar, and then again he mentions Oyde Shechita. Where is that line? One second, let's see if I can find it. If not, we'll skip it for now. One second. It's one of the Ramban's here, but if I don't find it quickly, I'll let it go. If you look here on number, I think it's 40, start from 41 on page 2. This is the Ramban in Parshas Achrimos. V'haroi shenefarish, line 41, page 2. V'haroi shenefarish bitam isuro. He's talking about the isur of dam, I believe. Why blood, cannot be eaten. Ki Hashem bara kol ha-nibraim ha-tachtonim l'tzorech ha-adam. Right? All lower creatures were created, for man. Ki hu levado bahem makir esboro. Because he's the only creature, that has the ability to really recognize the Ribon Shalom. The afa bichein lo hita lehem achila mitchila rakatzomeach velo bali anefesh. And yet, in the time of Adam, this is the third time that the Ramban is addressing this question, right? He's very into it, you can tell. that nonetheless, you're not allowed to eat any live creature, you know, in the time of Adam, only Tzomeach. Kasher Baba Parshas Bereishis Shenem, Arhine Nosati Lachem, Kalesav Zerei Azara. The Kasher Haya, the Mabel, Shenitzolim, Biskusa Shel Noach, and then he adds, the Hikriv Mehem Korban, this he doesn't mention in Bereishis and Noach, the other parts he does. Since Noach saved all the animals, you know, that differentiated him even further and gave him extra credit, you know, and hierarchy in that whole thing. The Hikriv Mehem Korban, V'hayel l'ratzon lo, hiter lehem ashkita. Now again, at the time of Noach, it wasn't hiter lehem ashkita. It was hiter lehem achilas basar. Right. But the Ramban is looking forward. And again, it's connected to the fact that Noach brought a korban, where he mentions the shkita. I think these are, k'moshe amar kol remes asher hu chai lachem, right, yihyeh, right, their whole existence is to serve man. Vine hiter gufam asheruchai bavur ha'adam. Shiela hana'aso ulitzarka shel adam. Vishetia hanefesh shebahem lekapara la'adam. There's still a difference between the nefesh of the living creature and the body. So the nefesh is for kaparas ha'adam. That's the dam. That's the life force, right? Bekravim lefanav yizbarach. Lo sheyochluhu. Ki ein lebal nefesh sheyochal nefesh. Ke nefashos kulon lakel. Hinei ke nefesh ha'adam u ke nefesh ha'behem alo. Right? Hinei u mikra achad lahem. Ke moze ke moze. Beruach achad lakal. Pasuk in Koheles. So basically, this is the third time that the Ramban cannot discuss the early history of meat consumption without mentioning shechita. And here, as I say, for the first time, he links Noach's decision to bring a korban right to the heter, as well as to his use of the phrase shechita. So I think this is all extremely consistent. Having said that, I was taking a step back, just want to talk for a couple of minutes about minyan and mitzvahs. So, it's interesting, the Rambam, as we know, counts shechita as a mitzvah. I mentioned last week that, that the full position of the Rambam is quite fascinating. He counts chulin, shechitas chulin, as a mitzvah. He does that all over the place. In the minyan hakatzar, in advance of the Adah Chazaka, in the Koteret, Tehukos Shechita, in the first Halacha of Tehukos Shechita, as we'll see, in the Mitzvos and Sefer HaMitzvos, Kuf Mem Vav, that's very explicit. When it comes to Shechitas Kodshim, ironically, right, he does not count it typically as a mitzvah. He only has Seder HaOla, Seder HaShlamim, Seder HaChatos, and so on and so forth. But he doesn't mention the details. He certainly doesn't mention Shechita separately. However, what is fascinating is that when it comes to Korban Pesach, that's what I spoke about last week, he does mention Shechita. There's one Nusach in Sefer Mitzvos where it's absent in Korban Pesach, but even then it's there in Pesach Sheni. But in Koteret and in Hilchos Korban Pesach, the Rambam explicitly formulates the mitzvah of Korban Pesach in terms of Shechita Sa-Pesach. The Psukim in Parshas Bo emphasize V'shachatu es ha-Pasach, right? And Tachosu al-Aseh, which also refers to Shechita. Minui in Chabura depends on Shechita. The Achila is the main part of it. There are many reasons why it also may be, as I think I mentioned, that Korban Pesach is closer to Kachim Kalim, it's closer to Chulin. Therefore, the role of Shechita is even more prominent. That the Rambam basically has the mitzvah of Shechita in Chulin and in Pesach. The Bahad, Chos Gedolos, has the other way. He does not count the mitzvah of a mitzvah of Shechita for Chulin, right? But he does count it for Kodshim. Now that makes sense. Actually, the Rambam is a little more ironic, right? The Bahad is saying, well, In Kodshim, it's a mitzvah, right? Because it's a chiyuv also to bring a korban. Many korban, sachatas and asham, You know, some of them are voluntary, but many of them are obligatory. So the obligatory kachim, you know, the half those is, you know, that they that you would count their shkita makes a lot of sense. Whereas shkitas basar taiva, shkitas kulin, that's always voluntary. You never have to eat meat, right? And therefore, one would have thought that would be a further reason, and indeed it is a further reason, why some of the Rishonim do not count shkitas kulin. So both in terms of the more obvious, you know, spiritual payoff, as well as the technicality of chiyuv, the reasoning of the Bahag is very, very understandable. I'll show you in just a second how the Ramban understands the Bahag. On the other hand, just one more second, the Yireim, I think I mentioned it last week, counts both Shkitas Kachim and Shkitas Kulin as one, but as a mitzvah, but combined mitzvah. It's hard to know what to do with that exactly. Is it the common denominator? Or is it, you know, in a way of saying that, you know, this comes from the world of... is it the common denominator to be matir basar, and you also need it in kachim, of course, or is it the opposite, meaning this really comes from kachim, kasher tzivisicha, and it's exported to chulin because of kachim, therefore they shouldn't be two dinim, they're one halacha. So the Rambam's view, the Bahag's view, the Yireim's view, these are all. It would have been fascinating for someone to count two mitzvos, right? Well, the Rambam does by Korban Pesach, but meaning shkitas kachim and shkitas chulin separately. That would be an interesting count as well. I'm sorry, you had a question, yeah.
So how does the Rambam, how does Rambam view it as nase or los ase?
Oh, so the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah ase, and the Raiva disagrees. So look here just for a second. The Rambam counts it as mitzvah ase kuf memba. Now there's a separate los ase, since you're asking quite correctly, of nevela. Right, if you mess up a shkita or you eat an animal without shkita, that's a violation of nevela. Yet the Rambam felt that shkita is an independent mitzvah and a mitzvah say, even though it's not obligatory to eat meat, but when you eat meat, you have to do this, and therefore it counted as a mitzvah. But the Ravid didn't like it, and it's interesting the way that he says it. So look here. Probably going to be at the end, probably on page 6. You see in the bottom, it says Minyan HaMitzvos LaRambam. This is the Minyan HaKotzar, it's called. I mean, the short version of Sefer Mitzvos. So the Rambam has Kuf Mevav. Lishkot Behem HaKai V'Of. The Achakach always has that kind of formulation. Eat it, and then you can eat. I'm sorry, shecht it, and then you can eat. V'achakach yochal b'saron shenemar v'zavachta mibkarecha, then it's v'achalta kasher tzivisicha. The Ravid says, Omer Avram ze ein lo tam. V'ulai lav abo mechalal asei. Asei? Meaning, what the Ravid is saying, one thing the Ravid is saying, for sure, is there's no point for the Rambam to count Shechita. Because all it really is a mirror of the Isra of Nevela. I mean, if you eat without Shechita, so you violate Nevela, the Lav, and it's also, since it says Vizavachta, and you didn't do Vizavachta, says the Ravid, so you also violate it, it's a Lav, Haba, the chlal asay, and that's the question. Is a lav above a chlal asay an asay or a lav? So he's saying, oh, Rambam obviously ulai, lav above a chlal asay is an asay, but, you know, in the end of the day, he counted her. It's the same thing. How many demerits do you get? You get a positive demerit and a negative demerit. Okay? So the Ramban also, in his Perush, on Sefer HaMitzvos, which we'll get to in just a second, he talks about the Bahag, suggests that the reason that the Bahag did not count Shechita in the Minyan Taryag, Shechita Schulin in the Minyan Taryag, we'll see in a moment, is in one place at least, he seems to say in Shorosh Vav, that because it's a lava b'chalaseh. It's repetitive, it's just gratuitous, there's no reason to count it. It's covered already in the lav. However, the Ramban has another formulation, and many of the Nosa Kalim here as well. That is, the Rambam counted it, even though it's already covered by Nevela, to add on Lavam Mechalas Ayaseh, or maybe he counted it as a matir. That's the question. Do you matir minin a mitzvah's taryag? Do you count something which isn't a mitzvah, it's not a chiyuv, but if you want to do X, you've got to do Y first. We usually call that a matir. Do we count matirim as mitzvahs? We count mitzvahs as mitzvahs. Right? Essen and Lavin. But what? Right? So if you look at the, just to highlight it a little more, look at the Ramban. Did I bring that? Sefer mitzvahs? Oh, tell me that. Yeah, I did. Okay, good. Right. After the Minyan Mitzvahs Kuf above, the real one, this is on page 7, line 10. Oh. So the context is a discussion between Shorish Aleph. I mean, the Rambam, when he wrote his Minyan Taryag, right, so he set up rules, Shorashim they're called, the principles, the roots. So the first Shoresh is, that you don't count the Rabbanans. Then he attacks the Bahag. He says, the Baal Halachas Gedolos and his Minyan and Mitzvos does count certain Rabbanans. So the Rambam says, I don't understand how he could do that for many reasons. And one of the things he says is, well, if he's already counting Rabbanans, let him be consistent and count, many Rabbanans. Right? So one of the things he said, why doesn't he count the Mitzvah of making an Eruv and the Tilas Yadayim? Even if they're Durabanan, right? Or they're, the rabbinic Eruv and Netil Sedayim. But the Bahag, to be consistent, if he's already counting Durabanans, let him count Durabanans, he's saying. Ram says, Bishlomo me, I'm very consistent. I only count biblical laws. But that's Shoresh Aleph. So the Ramban, not necessarily because he agreed, but because, for whatever, he wrote this commentary on the Rambam. So he takes on a lot of interesting issues. My personal belief is that the Ramban, wanted, or I don't know if this is conscious or subconscious, but a little bit more of an opportunity, I guess, to weigh in and to on certain kind of issues. So it's a very interesting thing. I mean, he wrote Sefer Mochamos and Sefer Azchus, to try to justify the doctrines of the Rif, from the attacks of the Balamor, from the attacks of the Ravid, right? And he wrote this, the Haros on Sefer Mitzvah, some of which are to defend the Bahag. So it's a very interesting thing, because the Ramban himself often doesn't agree with the Rifs that he's, he certainly doesn't agree with a lot of the Bahags that he's explaining. But I think this was like a bit of an opportunity, to kind of spread his wings even more, like to weigh in on certain, concepts and ideas. So you get a bit of a freer Ramban, in these places. But, okay. Anyways, so the Ramban, to justify the Bahag, A, tries to explain what he means by counting Drabanans, and B, tries to explain that not all mitzvos and Drabanans, for that matter, are alike. So one of the things he says is that the Rambam asks, im kvar az kvar, if you're already going to count, drabanans, why aren't you counting Eruv and Tilas Yadayim and those things? So the Ramban says, yeah, sure, the Rambam's asking that. He's applying his own mistaken doctrines or bias to the Bahag, right? Because the Bahag doesn't think, like the Rambam, that you should count either lava baba chlala say, which is just repetitive, just in a different form, but covers the same ground, or matirim. And if something is just a matir, it's not a chiyuv, it's just the method of being matir, the Rambam counts them, and the Ramban says, the one could argue with that, maybe one should argue with that, but it's not fair for him to impose his, mistaken, view on, and to use it to attack you know, or to make you know, more ludicrous the position of the Baha'i. That's what he says. Vim Tomar, you see the line here. Sheroy lim no son mitzah bipnei sha'eruv atzmo yikra mitzah b'divrayim. Sharianu mevarchen alav asher kedishanu b'mitzos v'tzivanu al mitzvahs eruv. V'chein netila adayim. Right? We make a bracha on these things. And we call it asher kedishanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu. So even though they're rabbinic, we call them mitzvos. So why shouldn't the Baha'i, he's counting drabanans, let him count things where you have brachos which are called mitzvos. Te devataskil, says the Ramban, she'ein ze etzel bal halachos mitzvah shetimane. From the Baha'i's point of view, even though you're going to count drabanans, you're not going to count these drabanans, because from his point of view, they're not mitzvos. Levi she'ein adam mitzuveh la'asos ha'eruv. O shalola so-so. Ve'eno b'klal kum vaseh. Because there's no obligation to make it. If you want to use the Erev, then you got to make it. Right? But there's no obligation, right, to make an Erev. V'chein yetilas yadayim. Ein mitzvasa b'chiyuv klal. Pamim adam shiyir tal yadav klal v'lechol. V'hano tal yadav asar pamim bayom v'ochel. Ein l'ze mitzvah yosem mizeh. Ramban says if he wants to do, you know, keep Tilas Yadayim all day, he's not going to add to his merits. Meaning, Tilas Yadayim and, if be good at that, right? And Eruv are Matirim, but they're not mitzvos. Aval Elu, sorry, Heter Ha'isar Hein, that's where he calls it. They're matirim, they're not mitzvos. Domeh, now this is where it gets interesting, the mitzvah sashchita, comparable to the mitzvah of shchita, right? Shetiknu banami v'tzivanu ala shchita, the Gemara says in Psachim, and Av Zayin, that we make a bracha, asher kedeshanu b'mitzvosu v'tzivanu ala shchita, right? V'diktiku ba, leima lishkot, the Gemara there says, why do you say ala shchita? You should say, more directly, Lishkot, that whole Gemara in Psachim discusses the Nusach HaBracha. When do you say Al and when do you say Lit? There are some rules. So the Gemara says, our text doesn't say this, by the way. This is the text that apparently the Bahag had, or the Rashbats had it also for the Bahag. Lo Sogi de Lo Shachit? Question mark? Meaning, you're not going to say Lishkot because there's no obligation, there's no imperative, there's no mitzvah to do Shkita. Just if you want to eat meat, then this is the method, this is the matir. So since it's a matir, you say al, you don't say li. Li implies that there's an imperative or that there's a kiyum for doing it. The elu kiyotzebhen, says the Ramban, here's a quetzal. In my opinion, this is not so simple. Meaning the idea that something is a matir and the idea that it's a lav habam mechlal aseh, I think they're two different ideas in both directions. Right, there are matirim that are not lav b'machlal aseis. There are lav b'machlal aseis that are certainly not matirim, as we'll discuss. Anyways, for the purpose of minyan mitzvos, I think what the Ramban is saying is you shouldn't count matirim, and you shouldn't count lav b'machlal aseis. Right? The elukiyot, but here he's just conflating them. Elukiyot and lav b'machlal aseis, v'ikaron hu halav shenemar b'hen. Now, this is a whole fascinating issue. If you look at the Rambam in Shorish Vav, in his sixth principle of counting mitzvos, so he has a whole discussion about, you know, what you count, what you don't count, whether you count things twice. That Vav and Tess, they're slightly different. Whether you count an asay and a lav, basically. And the Ramban writes a critique on that klal too. So if you look there, they talk about the Rambam counted in Minyan Mitzvos this, you know, awareness of or the simanim of kosher foods, right? Ofos, behemos and chayos, dagim, and each one separately. And the Bahag did not. Because the Bahag said, you're not allowed to eat non-kosher food, but there's no mitzvah saseh, you know, of kosher, of eating kosher food. You don't have to eat, oaf, and you don't have to eat dagim, and you don't have to eat behem. If you want to eat them, then you have to eat the right foods. And that's not even a matir. That's not something that you do. The more to the point is you have to avoid the things that you're not allowed to eat. Bahag. And the Ramban here totally supports him. This is in Shorish Vav. That's what the reference is. The Rambam shouldn't have counted the mitzvos of the simanim of kashrus, because that's a lava bo mechlal asay. It says zeh tochal or whatever, but it doesn't mean that it's a mitzvah to eat it. It means that, you know, that if you eat non-kosher food, you violate the lav, and you also violate the isur asay. Or so it would appear. So now he's saying, the Bahag is going to tell you that shechita is exactly like that. And remember, he doesn't count shechitas chulin, the Bahag. He only counts shechitas kachim. Shechitas kachim is a mitzvah. You have to bring a chatas. Not a luxury, it's not a heter. The heich yakpir al bala lochos sheimane mitzvah kazumi divrei sofrim v'hu eino mone ki yotzuba min haTorah. So it's not fair to attack the Bahag and say, oh, if he's counting drabanans, let him count Netilas Yadayim and Eruv, and so on. Because the Bahag doesn't count these kind of mitzvahs even when they're Minat Torah. So he should count the Drabbanan ones. I mean, he has a totally different view on that point than the Rambam. And the Rambam says, on this point, I happen to agree with the Bahag. Ki ein eitzel bal halachos ba b'minyan mitzvah asei, ele mitzvah shein kum asei. The only ones you count are when you're obligated proactively to do the mitzvah. Shasiyasan mitzvah leinu. Aval shein bos mikoch sheva al taseh, but they should be sheva al taseh, ve'ein b'shvisasan mitzvah, o basiyasan einan bos lo b'cheshvan, elem nomar belav, halav shebohen yimane belavin, v'hu lo mono ashchita. So this is the critique of the Ramban in the name of the Bahag against the Rambam. Okay, so, but the fact is, this is the point I want to make, that the Ramban himself, this is a great example of what I was talking about before, in 3-4 places already, in his Perush al HaTorah, and the truth is, that I'll mention other places too, is very, very focused on the mitzvah of Shechita. So even though he mentions the example of Shechita for the Bahag, you know, it's clear from what he says in Bereshis and in Noach and in, you know, Re'eh and in Achrei Mos, that he himself thinks that Shechita is a very important mitzvah. So what does that mean? Clearly he also understands that it's a matir, and that there's no chiyuv to eat the basar. So actually, the Kesef Mishnah on the Minin HaKatzar, responding a little bit to the Ravid, says, well, the Rambam holds that, you know, when you want to eat meat, right, then there's a chiyuv to do shechita. In other words, that's a very subtle point. It's not just a matir. It's true that it's not kumvase that you're obligated to do shechita, but in the context or the framework of your interest in meat, all of a sudden shechita is a mitzvah. I don't know whether he means that, you know, you typically don't look at, you know, frameworks that way. Typically we look at, you know, the, you know, if you're not obligated to eat meat, then the step that allows you to eat meat isn't. But maybe what the Kesef Mishnah means is that this is unique or different. Maybe what he means is something a little bit different, and that is that maybe there's a kiyum ha-mitzvah even if there isn't a chiyuv ha-mitzvah. And I think this fits in very nicely, not just for the Rambam, but for the Ramban, as you say, because the whole background of the Isra Basar, Isra of Achilas Basar, from the time of Adam and the different stages afterwards, right, all of this highlights, as we said, kasher tzivisicha, the idea that shechita is a way of elevating achilas basar. And In other words, the matir here wasn't arbitrary or isn't arbitrary. It's a particular form, and where it comes from highlights what it is meant to accomplish, and what it's meant to accomplish is basically to elevate Achilas Adam and to make it into a Davar Shebekdusha. I think this is true for the Rambam more generally, so let me take a step back. And that would explain why the Ramban, even though he's explaining the Bahag, even though when it comes to Kashrus he agrees with the Bahag, even though he doesn't think you should count Matir per se, just thinks that Shechita doesn't fall into this category. I think this is true for the Rambam more generally, so let me explain. Does the Rambam really think that you should count the Lava Babaklal Asay in Minyan Mitzvos? There are many Lava Babaklal Asays that the Rambam does not count. Does not count. The idea that all of a sudden he counts Kashrus and Shechita and a few others is peculiar. He's not consistent on the matter. I don't want to get into the whole Simone Kashrus question right now. I'll just say very, very briefly, there's an interesting exchange between Rabbi Avram and Rambam, the Rambam's son, and Rabbi Daniel Habavli on this question, which brings out some of it. And the Nosei Kalim and the Mefarshim in Shoresh Vav and Sefer Mitzvahs discuss this as well. If you look at the Psukim, and especially the Rambam formulates the mitzvah of Simane Kashrus, it sounds like the Rambam isn't just saying that the Rambam doesn't think it's a mitzvah to eat the food. Right? Also, there's no matir in that case, but it sounds like the Rambam thinks it's a mitzvah to be aware of the simanim that establish an animal as kosher. Now, some of the Mefarshim noticed this and embraced it, and others said, like, why would that be the case? Why is your knowledge, and if so, is this book knowledge, even if you're not going to eat? It doesn't seem like that. Meaning, what the Rambam really seems to be saying is, it's a mitzvah to be an aware kosher consumer, if I might put it that way. Meaning to know what makes something kosher or not kosher in the context of eating it, and not to be passive, but to be proactive, right, in planning your diet to ensure, you know, that you are compliant with the standards of kashrus, you know, and the davar shebekdusha aspects that it reflects. In Moshe Lema Davar Dom, I'll just give you an example. The Tosas and Shavuos kind of raises the question, you know, the mitzvah saseh of shvisa, the Shabbos or b'yom tov. So let's say a person's just very tired and he sleeps away the day, and therefore he doesn't violate melacha. That a kiyum in the mitzvah of shvisa? Right? So Bali Tosas say if he's just lazy or tired, you know, then that may not qualify for the aseh. Now there's something about a kind of a kumba aseh for certain sheval tases as well. There has to be like a purposive, you know, approach to it. You have to be cognizant. You have to be aware. You have to be consciously, you know, avoiding these isurim. And I think that's what the Rambam means when it talks about simane kashrus. It's a mitzvah to keep kosher, not just to avoid isurim, right, by being aware, knowledgeable, and proactive. It's not enough that coincidentally, you know, you happened not to eat, you know, you were lucky and the food that you ate was kosher, right? Putting effort into being knowledgeable about, worrying, you know, being nizhar and shomer in the area of kashrus, another area which the Torah speaks about is v'kidashtem, is a mitzvah. And not only generally, because one could have said generally, but apparently even more specifically, meaning for ophos, separately for behemos, separately for dagim, separately. Maybe it also goes to understanding, you know, why or what. I don't want to get into that right now. And that's a chiddush, a bit. But that, I think, is what's going on. Certainly some of the Nosei Kalim think that that's what's going on. What I'm trying to say is there are certain myths, certain categories in halacha, which may look like they're just shevaltase, You just have to avoid them. They may look like they don't qualify as mitzvos, but there are subtle mitzvah elements in them. I'll give you another example in the area of matirin, something that we've spoken about many times. And that is, of course, the issue of kiddushin, or gittin, or chalitza, right? The Rambam is as well known, and the Rambam too, and others count kiddushin, gittin, chalitza. All these things are counted in the minyan taryak. But the Rambam's view about kiddushin, unlike the smak, talked about this in the past, is that the obligation is not to get married. There's an obligation of period of rivia, which pushes you to get married for sure. But the obligation is when you are going to get married, which you're obligated to do for other reasons, to get married according to the methodology, right, of the Torah, namely Eirusin, prior to Nisuin, right, etc. These three ways, right, Kiddushin, prior to Nisuin, etc. When a person sadly, chooses to get divorced, then doing it the proper way, biksav, lishma, etc., the methodology is a mitzvah. Even tshuva, which we've spoken of so much in the past, right? The Rambam counts vidui. So the way I look at it, a little bit differently than some others, but there's this very famous issue in question, is the mitzvah tshuva the mitzvah of vidui, right? Not an obligation. There's no obligation to vidui, it's an obligation to do tshuva, the derech of tshuva is vidui. So in my opinion, just to say briefly, hopefully, the Rambam holds that there are, whatever the methodology is halachically singular, the way that you're going about doing this important thing is significant in its own right, and it highlights what is unique in the halachic approach to this particular institution. In other words, when Jews get married, it's different. The Eirusin Kodem L'Nisuin in front of Eidei Kiyum, only in these methods, highlights a certain approach to that institution that is singular to Kedushas Yisrael. And the same thing is true about divorce. When people do tshuva, they don't just have hirhurei tshuva, but they also do vidui, which is embarrassing and which forces them, to come to grips, to articulate, to concretize what it is that they've done wrong, etc. That approach is particularly suited to the Jewish concept, the halachic concept of tshuva, which is not just asking forgiveness, but it's about reinventing your religious personality, and so on and so forth. Again, without going into details. So the same thing, I believe, is true when it comes to shechita and for the reasons that we have been discussing. Namely, the Rambam holds that shechita is a matir, but it's also a kiyum. And what's a kiyum about it is the method. The fact that the way to be makshir, basar, is by means of a process that comes from the world of kanshim, together with whatever else it accomplishes. Again, the Ramban, actually, again, in Allah Torah, speaks about Tzar Balei Chaim, he speaks about other things. The Medrash speaks about Letzarif Esabrios. The fact that we do it b'derech shechita, according to these precise rules, that is a matir which is suffused with meaning and significance, and constitutes a kiyum, and therefore, according to the Rambam, is counted as a mitzvah. Yeah?
Setting aside why each of the simanim would be their own separate idea, why wouldn't we just include it all in some sort of other machal sasuas category of kol shetiavti lecha?
Well, it is also kol shetiavti is a general idea. In addition, I think that's actually quite interesting.
Right.
I mean, kol shetiavti is a larger, it's like a klali idea. There's something important about that, the common denominator. But if the Rambam had decided that that was enough, and that even, knowing the rules, were of all Dine Kashrus, let's say, you know, was one concept, I would have been fine with that. But I don't think it's problematic. I just think it's interesting, and there are lessons to be drawn from it, you know, that he did break it up, you know, more specifically. It sounds like understanding, you know, the difference between kosher, non-kosher fish, kosher, non-kosher animals, kosher, non-kosher, you know, et cetera, insects, that somehow either that heightens your level of involvement, the shevalta, that makes the shevalta say, you know, kind of yours, something that you own, a kumbase shevalta, if you will, or maybe the knowledge itself, you know, is knowledge that that has spiritual or other significance about the world. Like, why do we make these, you know, distinctions? And what does these represent, you know, in terms of breaking down the animal world, you know, in different ways? So I wouldn't have been, to be honest, troubled. If anything, I would have, you know, probably, you know, muskal rishon, expected that this would be a more general idea. But the fact that it's not, to me, just makes it more intriguing. It doesn't make the explanation less compelling. Yeah?
Does anyone hold that Yishev Val Tasa of Gzeres Rabo, the Shofar B'Shabbat, rises to a mitzvah?
Say that one more time? That the Gzera of the Rabbah... Yishev
Val Tasa of Gzeres Rabo.
Well, that's Rabbanah. That's a Dindra Rabbanah. That's a Dindra Rabbanah. That's not a Dindra Raisa. But you, again, every, you know, it's a tricky thing. Typically, we think, you know, in categories, and not just we, the halacha does it often too. Kumbase and sheval tasa, you know, active and passive, abstaining and doing. But the point I'm trying to make, and I've made this in the past in other ways, is that the halacha is much more complicated than that. It's much more nuanced than that. There are, you know, abstentions that are kind of almost active. In other words, the more you're supposed to be doing something and you're not, you know, or it's easy to fall into that trap and you don't, right? That's more like an active. It's like, let's say, abstaining from taking shofar and shot. That's an interesting question. Because, you know, now those who say that Gzeira Duraba, the way that it works is, you know, it's not that, you know, this is the question. Is it a problem of Lo Sigra? Right, this is a big issue in the Achronim. So they said, well, it's, you know, it's to protect another daraisa, and it's the koach hakamim to make zero, so it's not lo sigra. Just like in the opposite direction, that's probably not lo sosif. But others say, no, maybe there's another point here, and that is telling somebody to stay home. This is how many people explain how sheval tasa is better to violate sheval tasa than kumbase. Why? Because one is a passive and the other... No, because one isn't a violation at all. It's just an... You're just sitting home. You're sitting on your hands. So the point isn't, there's no din that you can't blow shofar on Shabbos. You're just told not to do it. Know what I mean? But others say, no, that's not how we understand the Gzeira D'Rabbah. For example, let's say you were to blow shofar on Shabbos, on Rosh Hashanah, right? Would you fulfill the mitzvah of Tekiyah Shofar? For whatever purpose that means. Or even let's say you only made one shawi, usually we do shachayanu because of the Yom HaRichta. Let's say, you know, you didn't paskel. Let's say you only say shachayanu the first time you made, the first day. It's a view in the Rishonim. So let's say you made, and let's say you blew and you made shachayanu on Shabbos. That's a famous discussion of Rabbi Kivager, whether the din of Gzeira D'Rabbah means that you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah, that you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah, or you're not supposed to fulfill the mitzvah. Right. So that's kind of an interesting, I mean, what did they do when they told you don't do it, you know, abstain from doing it? Or did they tell you, you know, there's no longer mitzvah? That already touches on the border of Lo Sigra. Maybe the Drabbanan answer is still good enough. You know what I'm saying? So, or for example, you go to the mikdash and you don't bring the proper korban. Like, that's an interesting question. Because you're going, is it, you know, you haven't, it's a sheval tasa. You didn't bring the korban you were supposed to bring. You know, we're saying it in the negative. You didn't bring the korban. Forfeit, you know, your obligation to bring a korban. I'm saying it in a more active in a positive way, because you went to the mikdash and you didn't bring the carbon. Is that a kumvaseh or a sheval tase?
Would you get Marcus Martis on blowing shofar on Shabbos?
Marcus Martis? I don't think it says that, and I don't think Zerud Rabba was set up that way, as far as I know. I mean, there are things you get Marcus Martis for. Right, I don't think you get automatically Marcus Martis for every Drabbanan. I think you get Marcus Martis for Drabbanans that were set up that way. Right? So, as far as I know, the answer is no. Yeah?
If we're saying that Nevela becomes a lava b'mechlal say, would we say that?
No, I didn't say Nevela is a lava.
We're saying it was a Zavachta.
I'm saying the Isser Asei of the Zavachta, that's the question. I'm saying, let me say it this way. The Bahag, certainly the Ramban understood for the Bahag, and the Ravid in his comment against the Rambam understood that a Vizavachta is a Lava B'mechlal Asei, and therefore it's questionable whether you should count it in Minyan HaMitzvos. They think that the Rambam counted it nonetheless. Or it's a Matir and you shouldn't count it, and the Rambam counted it nonetheless. So what I'm saying is, I don't think the Rambam counted it because it's a Lava B'mechlal Asei, but you count it, and I don't think he counted it because he thinks that you count all Matirin. I think he counted it because, and I think that's what the Kesem is, because he felt it was a Chiyuv, even if it isn't a Chiyuv, or it's a Chiyuv im Yirtze, or even if it's a Matir, but it's the kind of Matir which highlights, you know, a perspective in Kedushas Yisrael.
It's just interesting.
And therefore, for that reason, he counted it.
It's just interesting, because then you end up with this, that you have this the Mitzvah Shechita.
Yeah.
It's not really the Isser is Isser Achilas Nevela. So then you would say that.
No, so then according to what I'm saying, they're two totally different things.
Right.
Meaning the Ravid was saying, these are just, you know, mirror images of each other. Why count them both?
But they don't even seem like mirror images. One is a din in Achila, the other one's a din in a Maisa Heter to
right.
get to an Achila. They're not even.
Right.
That would
right,
sound
right,
like
right.
Nevela becomes a.
Ravid says, if you eat Nevela, so you violated the, you know, so called Nevela. He also violated the obligation when you eat food to do the shkita. And I'm saying, you know, that's not it at all.
Right.
It's that you what you when you there's a kiyum, a mitzvah, you know, or the methodology is a mitzvah when you do it. But you don't violate it when you eat the vela at all.
Right, but they're not connected.
Right. If it's a lab bomb call say, then you really you do violate it when you So yeah, this is exactly so. This is the approach that I am suggesting, I guess, in the in this way. So again, this I think is also very relevant to. Was there another question? Okay. So I think it's also very very relevant to a whole topic which I don't want to get into right now because I do want to get to the Gemara starting next week, and that is the question of Birchas Shechita and Birchas HaMitzvah, which the kind of the Bahag, the Ramban in talking about the Bahag alludes to. And by the way, just getting back to Netilas Yadayim and Erevin, there are some things, are some Atirim, and some which are absolutely not mitzvos. Right? Because maybe they aren't Kiyumim. For example, Nikur Hagid or Nikur Hachelev. Like, you have some parts of the animal, some are kosher, some are not, and you know, you have to do. You have to cut out the, you know, the non-kosher parts. But that isn't the formal. That's not like shechita. Like it's a halachic matir, right? That's just just to make sure you don't eat the wrong thing. It's like a physical requirement, you know, to make sure that you don't violate. No, the Rambam's not going to help that. It's not going to say that's a matir or that's a avabah mechlala say type kiyum. You know, so they're different. You have to look at each one, basically. Okay, so again, this, you know, how do you look at Birchas Shechita now? You make a bracha on a matir, right? Or only on chiyuvim, even if it's a framework, what I call a framework chiyuv, like a Kesa Mishnah, or maybe on kiyumim, right? Did you make bracha on kiyumim? It's a big debate. Part of the discussion of Mitzvah Seh Shizman Grama, whether you make a bracha. Assuming there's a kiyum, do you make a bracha when there's no kiyum? But either way, the Gemara says clearly in Psachim, Av Zayin, that birchas, it seems to say that Birchas HaShechita is a Birchas HaMitzvah. And the Yerushalmi in Brachos, Perek Tes, says this. Probably the Gemara in Chulin says it, although the Rambam interprets it differently. If you look here in the Mishnah and the scribes on Pei Perkisi Adam. Second, we have this Pei Vamud Beis. I'm not going to go on the whole sugya now, but Shochat Nea Chayo. Does everybody have the Mishnah here on Pei Vamud Beis? Shochat Nea Chayos b'makom echad. Yeah? You shecht 100 animals at one time. Okay? Like a shlachtos, you know, they're pretty, like, you know, they're quick at it. So, kisli echad l'kula. Mea ofos b'makom echad, kisli echad l'kula. Chayav of b'makom echad, kisli echad l'kula. Question of kisli adam. Rabbi Yomer shachat chaya yechasena, the achakach yishkot es ha'of. That's a machlokas, Rabbi Yudah and the Chachamim, whether or not kisui adam, you split up the types or not. Everybody agrees you can do mullen many at a time. Okay, good. So the Gemara has this interesting discussion. At one point, the Gemara says the following. Amrab Chanina moda hayi Rabbi Yehuda, even though Rabbi Yehuda debates regarding kisui adam, le'inyan bracha she'enem avecht mos, together, that one bracha is enough. Okay. What bracha are we talking about? So Rashi, we're talking about is Birchas Shechita. Here's Mishnah says, the Gemara goes on to discuss, I don't want to do this right now, just I'll read one line and I'll just tell you what the is and why it's important. The Gemara says as follows. Right? Or whatever. And Omrulay, the Mahav Livarech. They were ready to bench. For Omrulay, then they changed a little more. And out, you know, the good stuff. So Omrulivarech, Amra. The Chayav Bracha. Make one Bracha for many. Once is a Chiyuv Kisui. Hefsek in the same way that the havel of our hefsek achi hashta maybe hadi adadi lo efshar hache efshar the shata, but you can't bench and drink at the same time. But you can't. Halitos has gone to discuss: is this the only rule or in context? Right? Mikan hoy flikan tizal hoy a rav rabiyantiv sheim amad ma'achil is a very halacha lemais question. He lost so. Right? If a person is eating. And then he went in middle because of the lunch. Shem Amad Machiloso Bihispalel, right? But it didn't bench. Kishachozer, or Duba Lechol, he wants to come back and eat. Tzorach Levarech Birchasamazam Velito Yadav Velevarech Hamotzi, right? Maybe he should have to bench if he didn't already, right? And then wash again and start over again. Mishum de Mechal. Utsluye bahadi adad and daven at the same time, so the davening is a hefsek to the. So you should have to make a birchas hamazon. Klokas balitosis. The lodami klach have a nevarech have a gemar davar a hefsek. And the guy says have a nevarech. The chen kisui is assuming interesting. Is the kisui is the gemar of shechita. You have the efsher bahadi adadi since they're inherently, you know, terminations. So, if they're A, terminations, and B, it's impossible to do both at the same time, then that's a hefsek. Aval tefila lo have a gemar l'su'uda. You can't do them at the same time, but there's nothing about tefila that per se terminates achila. Da'atu embirech b'su'uda al re'emim v'afila bari pragafin yitzrach l'litol yadav alavarech. It's thunder and you make a bracha, you have to wash all over again. Because you can't eat while you're making the bracha. Meaning it's not a rule per se, it's a rule, you know, that reinforces when intrinsically there's a termination. I don't want to get involved. You can imagine, this is a very practical question. Anyways, the next Tosis discusses another question. Yeshli histapek imsach bein shchita l'shchita imtzarech lachzor levarech. Kamo gabei tefillin imsach bein tefillin l'tefillin. What happens if you're shechting a bunch of animals? right? And you talk in between. Okay. So then there's this whole big tosis, and there's a whole Ramban and a Ran, and a very lively discussion in the Rishonim, and a very additional lively discussion in the Poskim. Okay, what am I trying to get at here? Ah. So basically, there's Birchas Hashchita. Right? And all things being equal, certainly from the Sugya Psachim and from Rishalmi and Brachos, it appears it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. How does it stack up with other Birchas HaMitzvos with respect to the dinim of Hefsek and Hesek Hadas? Is it the same or not? So there are those who suggest that maybe it depends, because many of these other Birchas HaMitzvos go on Chiyuvim. Right? And Shechita is not a Chiyuv. It's more a Kiyum. That might affect, like, does the Brach have to be Chal on it, or you just, you know, it just has to be connected to it in a looser way? So, and of Hefsek. So, depending on whether we think Shechita is like a typical mitzvah, and we're ignoring the fact that it's, you know, not a kumvah say that you have to be shochet, say it like the Kesef Mishnah, b'mokom shirotzeh u'chayev. Okay, you're in that context now, treat it like a chiyuv. Or is it a kiyum, like I was suggesting? Or maybe it's not even that, it's really a mat, it's a meaningful matir, or a matir that reflects, you know, the halachic approach that is unique to this institution. Right? Or, the way others have it, it's like basically a lav. It's a slav abamachal asei asei, you're just piling it on. So that will determine what kind of bracha this is. Is it like making a bracha on dalet minim? Is it like making a bracha on tzitzis? Tzitzis actually is an interesting, because you're not obligated to wear the beged, right? But if you are wearing a beged, then you're obligated to wear tzitzis. Not exactly like shechita, but it's more comparable. So, like these questions, hefsek right after the bracha is one thing. Hefsek, you know, after the bracha, when there was a first act of shechita, you know, going forward, that's a different story. Or any hefsek. So a lot of these issues depend on this question. The Taz in Yordea, I'll bring it in for next week just because it's very important. The Taz goes further. Taz says, in his opinion, Birchas Shechita is not a Birchas HaMitzvah at all. It's a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. Like many of the Rishonim think the second bracha of Mila is, Lachnisa B'Brisa Shalav Ramavinu, you know, and then, you know, is Mila, it's one bracha, and then you say the bracha of Lachnisa B'Brisa Shalav Ramavinu. Many Rishonim would think of that second bracha is a Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. It may affect the timing, may affect the dinamik, it's a problem to split the person who does the shechita and the person who makes the bracha. We'll talk a little bit more about it when we finish this next week. But what does he do with the Gemara Psachim and Yerushalmi? I'm not really sure. But it's an interesting question, this whole question of bracha. So apropos to the bracha question, there is a fascinating rush. Rush says, this is also on page 7, line 23. Everybody have that? Yesh makshin al nusach brachazu. This is on the famous Rush. We've seen it many times. This is a Rush about Birchas Eirusin. But the reason I'm interested is because the Rush, on both sides of the debate, brings in Shechita as an example. So he says like this: Yesh makshin al nusach bracha zu, the bracha beirusin. Lama eim avarchan asher kedushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu lekadesh asaisha. Right? What do we need such a long bracha for? It's one of the we talked about it a lot in years past. I think it's an important topic. Why such a long, involved, complex bracha? Tzivanu al harayo and negative. What? When we start with our tzivanu al harayos, what's it got to do with? Right. V'asar lanu es arusos, also v'hiter lanu es anesuos, right? Lanu or whatever, al yedei chuba v'kiddushin, v'kadesh amo Yisrael, right? Probably alidei chuba v'kiddushin. So the order is wrong because chuba comes after kiddushin. It's a very lengthy bracha. Some of the gonim said, why are we speaking about kiddusha? Certainly, why are we speaking about arayas and erusin being asur? There are five questions, right? The Rosh asks a bunch of them. He asks enough of the questions that, you know, that it opens up all the questions. Okay. So then he says, V'od hecha matzina bracha kazos, shemivarcha namasha asur alanu akarish baruchu. Like why do we make a bracha on things that are prohibited? Where do we find such a thing? Hello, inanu mevarchem she'asa lanu eber menachai v'hitu lanu as hashachot. That's true. But it's an interesting parallel. Right? Oh. So, his famous answer is that birchas erusin is not a birchas hamitzvah. It's a birchas shevach v'hodah. That's why it's so long. That's why it speaks. We rhapsodize to the Rabbonu Shalom about how unique, you know, the halachic perspective on Ishus is, and that's the bracha that we make. The Hilkach Lonitkin of bracha. Why? Because basically, Erusin itself is not a mitzvah. It's simply the matir to properly fulfill Piri of Arivia. But you could still fill Piri of Arivia without Erusin. So Erusin, not a mitzvah, doesn't trigger a birchas mitzvah. What is this bracha? It's a birchas shevach v'hoda. Hilkachon nitken a bracha b'mitzvah zim. Af b'nosei isha l'shem piri v'rivya. Even if you're properly marrying in order to accomplish piri v'rivya, kiven the efshar l'kayim piri v'rivya below kiddushin. And then he adds, and this is what I'm interested in, v'lo dami l'shchita sh'ena m'chuyiv l'shchot v'lechol. Right? What are we saying? You don't have to do the Erusin. Just if you want to do it legally, properly, without an additional Avera, right? You could fulfill Piri of Arivia without Erusin, but that would get you involved in other Isurin. So the right way to do it, you know, the Kedasu Kedin way to do it is with Erusin. Well, it's exactly like Shechita. You don't have to eat meat. But if you want to eat meat, then the only way to do it is through Shechita. So we still make a bracha on Shechita. The Rosh, unlike the Taz, simple reading of the Gemara, thinks it's a birchas mitzvah. So why is Shechita mitzvah and a birchas mitzvah? With Erusin, right, which is just a matir, is not considered a mitzvah and a birchas mitzvah. Da'afilachi kishu shochet lechol mevarech. So he says three answers. Da'hasam e ef sharlo lechol belo Shechita. Okay, it's illegal, an illegal, you know, violation, but it doesn't affect the Piri of Arivia. You can do Piri of Arivia without Erusin, but you can't legally eat meat without Shechita. Therefore, even if they're both matirim, right, one is a necessary matir and one is a, you know, required matir, but not necessary to accomplish the goal, is what I mean. Okay. Quantitative difference. Second, v'gam hasam afke kroa b'loshon tzivui. T'chsiv z'avachta v'yachalta. Ha'v'locha k'siv ki yikach isha. Ish isha. When Torah speaks about isha, it speaks about it ki, right, when or if. When it speaks about Shechita, it uses a language of tzivui, v'zavachta v'yachalta. Therefore, that translates, fascinating, right? That translates into the need for a bracha. You need a birchas mitzvah. We treat it like a birchas mitzvah because the Torah uses a language of mitzvah, even though if he did it really isn't, meaning, hard to say that, meaning it goes by the language of Torah Shebichsav, even if it's inaccurate. And this is never inaccurate. Meaning, there's something about Shechita that while it may look like only a matir, there's something about it that's a mitzvah. Right? And that's why the Torah uses the expression. That's what the Rosh means. And then, finally, the coup de grace, right, is v'od the Bekadshim EF Shabalo Shchita. Hilkach Mevarchin Al Kol Shchita. Because in the world of Kadshim, it's a mitzvah and it's a chiyuv. But we're not talking about Kadshim here, we're talking about Chulin. Whoever said that Kadshim and Chulin have to be treated the same way with regard to the bracha? Right? But if indeed a kasher tzivisicha, right, or vizavachta, really belongs to the world of Kadshim, this is an import from Kadshim, and what the Rosh says is eminently reasonable. It's very compelling, actually. Saying, it's true that in Chulin, it's a matir and a rishus, but it's not really just a matir rishus, it's actually a kiyum and a matir that is suffused with meaning. Right? Because it really is the way of elevating achilas chulin in a manner that is parallel to shchitas kodshim. So that's reflected in the bracha. Okay, so I'm going to have to stop here, but I just want to finish two things about the bracha next time. One, the Taz, and the other, a line in Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat. There's a famous tshuva of famous discussion or exchange between the Ravid's father-in-law, who we call the Ravi Avad, or the Baal Sefer Eshkol, and Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat, a contemporary. Bracha for some things, and you don't make a bracha for other things. Everybody has seen this tshuva at one point or another, or the echoes of this tshuva. Why don't you make a bracha on tzedakah, and why don't you make a bracha on bikur kolim, and why do you make a bracha on this and that? Like, what are the rules for making a bracha? Okay. So shchita gets discussed here, because part of the question is, if shchita is just to avoid nevela, do you make a bracha, when you're just avoiding a negative? Right? There are many avoidance of isurim that you don't make a bracha for. Right? So why are you making a bracha on this? That's one of the things Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat said. So Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat connects this a little bit to the middle part of the history that I alluded to last week that I do want to discuss briefly next week. I'm not going to get bogged down in it. And that is the Gemara in Tazayin or Beis, in Zayin Amid Aleph. What was the situation before Knisa L'Eretz Yisrael, but after Matan Torah, in the Midbar, right? What was the story about how do they eat meat in the Midbar? The Machlokas to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva, I want to talk about the Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat, and I want to talk about the Rambam's view on that, which I alluded to last week, and then I want to start from straight.